the experience of life is often frustration because of this ongoing presence of sin. And you know what? I'm tired of it. I feel defeated and I get weary of the whole thing. I don't see deliverance. Do you see deliverance? I don't see deliverance. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. Where? The details of deliverance in the scripture so powerful. Why, O Lord? And the Lord says, now you're going to see. Don't lose heart. I have this rest for you. It's as good as done. I gave my son for you. Now I'm speaking to you.
We've been there, haven't we? We were wondering where God is and why he isn't doing what he said he was going to do on our time, right? But really, it's all about his timing, and he has a grand purpose in mind. And that's the lesson we're learning today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hi there. Welcome to the program. Join us in Exodus 5. It wasn't supposed to go this way.
When the world was created, Pharaoh was known as a superhuman being who was appointed by God to take charge of all the affairs of mankind. So the creator of the world had a kingly office, they said, and Pharaoh was his appointed embodiment of that to continue the God's rule over all of creation. So Pharaoh was known in Egypt as God and Lord, by the way. Lord of the world and God. And I made an issue of the fact that he wore the uraeus symbol, the sign of the cobra snake, right on his headdress to symbolize his power, to symbolize that he had supreme power and authority over every single god. So do you see a showdown here? We really do see Genesis 3, where the serpent is desperately trying to destroy the seed of Christ, Pharaoh even wearing the symbol. And that takes on a whole new meaning now. You see it playing out in history. You're seeing what this looks like in history. Think of the scene. The Lord just sent his, Yahweh, just sent his shepherd into Pharaoh's palace. And he walks in. Thus says the Lord, you let them go. Let my people go. Do you know what just happened? Well, you get an idea from verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Who is this? I don't know the Lord. And notice he won't say God, by the way. I don't know this Yahweh. Nor will I let Israel go. Who do you think you're talking to? Probably not a wise response on Pharaoh's part, right? This really does become the central question of Exodus. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? The question's interesting because Moses says, the Lord God of Israel. Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? So in other words, I will not call him a God. He's not God. You're really getting the sense of Pharaoh's scoff here, aren't you? What makes you think I care about Yahweh? I don't even know the guy. Why do you think I should take him seriously? What we have in Pharaoh is an antichrist figure who, 2 Thessalonians 2, opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. I don't have to take this other God seriously. And who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? You think I'm obeying and submitting to this God, this desert God? I want you to notice here the contrast, though. This is where I want it to go this morning. The contrast in the intention of the Lord and Pharaoh. And I hope this will help, especially the young people this morning, think through what you're really in and what you're going through. The Lord says, let them go. And what did Moses say? So that they can come and worship. I want them to come out into the wilderness and worship. I want them to come to me at Sinai. Remember, the Lord said a worship service would happen at Sinai, and that would be the sign. That'd be the sign to Moses of his faithfulness. 3 days' journey. Everyone look at verse 7. Pharaoh says, here's what I'll let them go and do. You catch that? You're saying let them go. Let me tell you what I'm going to let them go do. They're going to go gather straw for themselves now. Here's what I'll let them do. They can go collect their own straw. He tells here the taskmasters, don't you dare reduce their quota of bricks. They had a quota of bricks they had to meet every day. And here's what I think of God and his people. Here's what I'm going to go allow them to do. Now, Moses, they can go gather bricks. And they can go gather their straw themselves. I'm not even giving it to them anymore. Bricks were used for everything in Egypt. The temples were made of stone, but the essential ingredient to a good brick was straw. And straw helped to reinforce the brick and keep the clay intact. And Pharaoh had just made the job absolutely impossible. Here's what I think of your God and your freedom. Now you can go and collect straw. And so you notice what happens in verse 12. So the people were scattered. Now he scattered them throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. They couldn't even find the straw, so they had to get stubble, which was a substitute. It worked, but it would have been awful to try to make it work. Verse 14 says, so they started whipping them and beating them. Meet your quota. Meet your quota. Now what do we have here? I watched the movie the other night for the first time. I watched the movie Unbroken. And as I watched that movie, I thought to myself, I've been through nothing in my life. If any of you have seen it, there was a generation who went through things that our generation has not gone through. I walked away taken by it. Imagine this. One pastor quotes, they worked in the hot Egyptian sun all day. Temperatures often over 100. We complain when it's in the 80s here. They had no hats to protect their heads and wore nothing but a brief kilt or apron on their bodies. Their kidneys suffer because they're out in the sun because they have no clothes on. Their hands are torn to ribbons by the cruel work. They have to knead all sorts of mud. Listen, you know, we all wear garden gloves all day long. Do you know what happens to your hands in the mud? You hate it. Rips them apart. Certainly no one stood by to give the workers a drink every few minutes. The Charlton Heston movie probably wasn't right, by the way. It doesn't take much imagination to conclude that the severe rigor imposed upon the Hebrews resulted in many of them dying of dehydration, heat prostration, heat stroke, and the like. I've never known that. I've had a cush life. I'm thankful for what the Lord's provided me. I'm thankful for the very, many of the very benefits and all the technology and things that make life supposedly better, right? Here these are getting beaten to a pulp in a prison camp. 400 years. And I think the height of rebellion from Pharaoh is witnessed in this. Verse 10. Thus saith Pharaoh. Did you catch that? You want to hear a thus saith? I'll give you a thus saith. Thus saith Pharaoh. I'm not giving you any straw. So the contrast here is, there's thus saith who? Who claims who? Who should obey who? Who has the rightful claim of who? Who is who? He keeps saying something that intrigues me in this text. They're idle, they're idle, they're idle. They keep saying, let us go sacrifice to their God. You know what? They're not getting any more time off. They are worthless. And I thought to myself as I was preparing this, this is the larger story of Scripture, isn't it? How about this? Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Worthless. Dirty. Idle. Lazy. They don't do anything for you. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Oh, Satan, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. The Bible picks up on this in the New Testament and says, do you want to know what spiritual bondage is like? Let me give you a real picture of it. Study Egypt. Study Israel and Egypt. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. But Satan has asked to sift you. The other night, we were talking as elders and how to train our children. And one of the things we realized that we're not making clear is that clear enough in our training of our children today is that they belong to the Lord. Following him, following Jesus, following Christ is not something that's up for grabs or is just one among many of your choices in life. I think we've presented Jesus that way. We've presented in the household of God as if Jesus is an alternative, or Jesus is somebody I can set and weigh and see which one's the best for me. And that the thing that we have to make clear to our generation is that God put a sign on them. It's called baptism. And that parents, as we say, are always to teach their children that they what? Belong to the Lord. What's really hard to make clear to our children is that the devil in his kingdom of darkness, with all that it offers, is trying to hold them in bondage and put them in a straitjacket. And they don't see it. I saw the most disturbing thing the other day. Do you know that 550 girls have run off at this point to ISIS? Not with a knife to their throats. A family from London, just 2 weeks ago, I read the article, was pleading with their three girls, 15, 15, and 16. Listen to this. Mom needs you home. You belong at home with us. Syria is a dangerous place, and we don't want you to go there. We understand you have strong feelings. You can help from home. Please don't cross the border. These young girls are promised all sorts of benefits from ISIS. Their goal? To enslave them as baby machines and grow their rebellion. Women are key to building the Islamic State. This author says they are raped and abused, but once they cross the border, listen to this, there is nothing they can do to undo their mistake. We don't know that. We haven't even thought about that. Here's the madness of it all. They think it's freeing. The dread of that. And then I think to myself, okay, what's different then than the young prodigal running and joining himself to a master of another country? Who's the master? When the God of your father stands at the window in the lattice of the house, he stands at the window and opens his door and says, come home, son, come home. And countless still say, we're going the other way. You think, haven't you listened ever to history? Haven't you listened to the scriptures about the real bondage? Do you feel the giant tug of war? It's a cosmic tug of war. God on one end, here's Pharaoh on the other, Israel stuck in the bondage and can't get out. They have crossed the border and there's no way out. You feel that? There's no way out. It's that bad. It's that much bondage. It's that much inflicting. It's killing them. Here's the intention of your God. Let my people go, that they might come and worship. Moses heard God say the sign of his power would be that God would bring him to the foot of Sinai and they would worship. So in fact, Moses understood this to be so freeing. Did you notice what he calls it? He calls it a feast. Let them come feast. Let them enjoy the fat that the Lord has for them in the meat, the way he's going to care for them and provide for them. Let them come feast. Let them take the supper. Let them come and enjoy in the wilderness. I know the wilderness is hard, but they need to be brought out to me and I'll care for them. Pharaoh recognizes that. And did you catch what he said in verse 5? Moses, you're making them rest from their burdens. Do you know Sabbath is derived from that word? You want to give them Sabbath? What's the last thing people value in our day? The Sabbath. What do they call it? Legalistic. Okay? So, does going and doing your own thing free you up? That's the lie. Have you ever thought that the reason the Sabbath is not appreciated is that it very much displays that people are still in the bondage? They don't want rest. They don't even see a need for it. I have rest for my people. I have rest for them. I don't want them going through this. There's another word play here you probably wouldn't catch in the Hebrew. If you look down at verse 19, the foremen of the people saw that Israel were in trouble. Do you know that word for trouble is Ra? That was the chief Egyptian deity. So in other words, Pharaoh was said to be Ra incarnate. So you could put it this way. When Israel, the foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in raw. Here's Christ coming. I want them free. It's powerful because they could have never done it. There's no way out. There's only one pursuer here that's really coming after them who can get them out. And Christ so loved them, he was determined to free them. If you ever go through the Gospels, this was your Lord's concern the whole time as he's walking on earth. It was that people would know the truth, and the truth would what? Set them free. And he kept saying to people, to the centurion and the people he healed, go your what? Your way. It's the way to God. Go. Go, you're free. You're free now. You can go worship. The truth has set you free. And whenever he freed them, Jesus then set people free. And what did they do? They bowed the knee. Think of the leper who came back and worshiped. The New Testament tells us all over the place that we're all by nature in bondage and captive by the prince of the power of who? The air, who works now, the ruler who works in the sons of disobedience. Or some fall snared by the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The devil, captive. Or do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. This is the struggle of life right here. Sin's a harsh taskmaster. It just keeps on taking. You start doing it and you think it's going to provide you some release. Why do people fall into sin? Stress. They fall into sin because of stress. Well, it's not just stress, but I'm giving an example here. The stress of life, they go to those things which will ease and take away and provide them temporary fulfillment. And all it does is keep taking from you. It's like one pastor said, the nature of sin is like more bricks and less straw. It was the woman at the well who kept jumping around from man to man to man to man and refused to see that she needed Christ. The people feel this bondage. Do they cry to the Lord? They run into Pharaoh. What are you doing? Stop. I rehearse all this today to say, do you see the big story? You're in warfare. Do you understand what you're in? God has to come get you. He has got to come get you out. The gospel comes and it says, come to me and I will give you rest. The world, the flesh, and the devil says, stop trying to give rest to this person. Inflict them with more burdens. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Pharaoh says, increase it. I believe the text is helping us think through right now, where is deliverance? That's how this all ends, and I close with this morning. You know how frustrated Moses is? The entire nation is furious at him. He has provoked Pharaoh, and he can't take it. He is snapped. And he goes to the Lord. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, oh Lord, why have you done evil to this people? If you're in charge and you are in control and you're, why are you doing this? Why are you bringing this on them? Why did you ever even send me if this is what I have to go through? If this is what it's going to be, why send me? For ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak, he has done evil. And the text ends, you have not delivered your people at. I'm not so hard on Moses anymore, by the way. I would have said the same thing. And at times I feel like saying the same thing. It's not so different from what you're experiencing, is it? All I do at times is look at the church and it's beaten up, it's torn down. I look at people. You're called to preach to people. And you wonder, you know, where's the power in all this? You probably have felt like at times I've trained children, the sign was given to them. I've trained them. I've taught them. I've stayed the course. And I see little progress in them at all. And some of them have turned away. What in the world is that? I don't get it. You haven't delivered. I look at my own life and I ever since I came to you, the actual truth of the matter is the experience of my life, if I'm going to be honest, it's not a mountaintop experience. The experience of life is often frustration because of this ongoing presence of sin. And you know what? I'm tired of it. I feel defeated and I get weary of the whole thing. I don't see deliverance. Do you see deliverance? I don't see deliverance. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. Where? The details of deliverance in the scripture so powerful. Why, O Lord? Next week we're coming back. And the Lord says, now you're going to see. Don't lose heart. I have this rest for you. It's as good as done. I gave my son for you. Now I'm speaking to you. You've already been here. You know the truth. You've been set free. Let me remind you of what I've done for you. I've spiritually already brought you out. Physically, I'm going to raise your bodies at the resurrection. Until then, I need you to know you're not alone. I'm with you to the close of the age. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come for you. I've got true freedom for you. And there remains a rest for the people of God. There remains a rest for the people of God. But I need you to know something. You're not in Egypt to eat, drink, and be merry. If you think that's what this is, you're all wrong. You belong to Christ in body and in soul. And he set you free from the tyranny of the devil. And he watches over you in such a way, I'll complete the work, but you need to know in this world you're going to have tribulation. You need to wait patiently. God's going to say to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Because guess what? There's a point coming where you will see these Egyptians no more forever. One day the sorrow will pass. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. Aren't you thankful? So then, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Christ has come to set you free, and Christ will come again to bring us home. Believe him. Trust him.
Such a clear lesson today. God's promises are indeed just that, his promises. He will fulfill them. We have to trust, rest, and wait, and watch God be magnificent and marvelous as he always is. And you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment to close out our time together today with a word of prayer. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program. They're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. 8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, as we look at this Old Testament passage, we see the story. We feel the struggle. And at times, it feels like you haven't delivered us at all. Thank you that you are so long-suffering and patient with us. Help us to be not unbelieving, but believing. And give us the strength to fulfill our tasks and callings with boldness, to not waver in them, and to really have our heart set on the rest that is given to us and not be too caught up in the things of this life. For a soldier does not get too caught up in the affairs of this life if he belongs to an eternal kingdom like yours, where there is a rest held out for the saints of God. Give us perspective in changing times when the tribulation is great, that you told us it would be like this. and hold fast our hearts, and may we not lose heart as we look eagerly for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on the clouds of heaven to take every last one of his servants home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 8:30 for the morning service, 5 p.m. for the evening service, and both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.